Welcome to the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I'm your host, the one, the only, Willie Jackerson. All right, so I have an awesome show for you this week. I really appreciate everyone joining every week. We have a lot of fun doing these, and appreciate Steve from the Northside Tavern Hospitality let me record my Super Bowl party last weekend. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate Captain Morgan coming and joining me, first ever live guest on my show, so that was pretty cool. So this week I'm going to cover Evel Knievel. So I didn't really know too much about him, and I remember when I was a kid always having like Evel Knievel toys. And actually, to be honest, before looking into this, I was even spelling his name wrong. I thought it was actual Evel, but he purposely misspelled it different. So I didn't even realize that growing up. So that was kind of something that was a little bit of an eye opener. So I'm gonna do a little closing monologue on these. I really appreciate all my listeners coming in and giving me ideas and showing me different topics that they kind of want to hear about. So I think this is gonna be pretty interesting. I have a lot of cool audio that I was able to turn up, and one was from the Classic Car Channel. So get over there and subscribe to the Classic Car Channel, jump in and listen while you're cruising to work on your commute or whatever you're listening. It just means a lot to me that I built this podcast and kind of created something that people are interested in, and it's just a lot of fun doing it too. So I really appreciate it, and I'll see you guys next week. And remember, make every day an easy day. Peace. This episode is sponsored by Pure Pollination. 100% made in the USA, naturally open pollinated, chemical free heirloom vegetable kits. Find them on Amazon. They're 100% non-GMO, and you can visit them at purepollination.com.
Fake news. Let's go. What do you have, John? Nothing else matters. Every line, every paragraph. It was not complex. It was perfect. Nothing else matters. Okay, thank you.
So close, no matter how far. Couldn't be much more from the heart.
Forever. Trust in who we are, and nothing else matters.
Never opened myself this way.
Life is ours, we live it
our way.
All these words I just say,
and nothing else matters.
Trust I seek, and I find in you.
Every day for us something new.
Open mind for a different view,
and nothing else matters.
Earth
never cared for what they say.
Never cared for games they play.
Never cared for what they do.
Never cared for what they
know. No,
no. Oh, but I know.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
We will make metal great again. And we will make America metal again. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
greatest daredevil, though. I will never, ever, ever jump again, Iron Bruce.
One day, Robert Knievel woke up from a nightmare. He dreamed his life was a failure. It was 1955, and he was only 17 years old. He worked as a grocery store clerk in Arlee, Montana, living with his aunt and uncle after he quit living with his alcoholic mother and abusive stepfather. Life had been rough for Robert. Living in remote areas outside Butte, Montana, his father was a miner who was out of his life by the time he was 6 years old. Living alone with his mother, he struggled with dyslexia and had trouble in math and science. But there was something he excelled at in high school: getting into fights. Countless times he would be taken to the principal's office and characterized as a delinquent. Eventually, he quit high school. It's safe to say that Robert's life was going nowhere fast. He was your typical motorcycle-riding bad boy. Except there was something Robert liked: the Joey Chitwood Auto Daredevil Show. It was a traveling show of guys in cars doing cool stunts to a cheering crowd. Teenage Robert loved it, and it inspired him to learn tricks with his motorcycle. Then one day in 1956, 18-year-old Robert, while out recklessly driving his motorcycle, accidentally crashed. He was taken to jail and held for the night. In the next cell nearby was a guy named William Knoffel. The town knew him as Awful Knoffel. Robert liked the rhyming sound of the guy's name and decided he wanted a rhyming name like Awful Knoffel. So Robert Knievel came up with Evil Knievel. He purposely misspelled evil because deep down, he wasn't evil, just lost. Trouble followed Evil everywhere he went. Having dropped out of high school, Evil was arrested for stealing hubcaps and given a choice: go to prison or join the army. His years in the service helped him focus, and when he returned to Montana, he married Linda Bork, and they had their first child, Kelly. Evil started exploring legal ways to make money and raise a family, including the rodeo, but times were hard. He took a job in the copper mines with the Anaconda Mining Company as a diamond drill operator. He was soon promoted to surface duty, where he drove a large earth mover. But delinquency got the better of Evil. Sometimes he couldn't help but just find a way to be reckless. He was fired when he made that earth mover do a motorcycle-type wheelie and drove it into Butte's main power line. The incident left the city without electricity for several hours. Out of work and still needing to support his family, Evil remembered watching the Joey Chitwood stunt show and decided he could do something similar, but with a motorcycle. He promoted the show himself, renting a venue, writing press releases, setting up the show, even selling tickets and acting as his own master of ceremonies. He started with a few wheelies for the small crowd, and then he proceeded to jump a 20-foot box of rattlesnakes and two mountain lions. Knievel landed his Honda 250cc safely, and the crowd loved it. But at the end of the day, he still wasn't making enough money to cover the costs and his family. Evil realized that in order to make any real money, he would need to hire more performers, stunt coordinators, and other personnel. That way, he could put his focus on perfecting his jumps. He found a sponsor in ZDS Motors, the West Coast distributor for the Berlin Motor Corporation, a distributor for Norton Motorcycles. Owner Bob Blair offered to supply the necessary motorcycles, and the show was renamed to be Evil Knievel and His Motorcycle Daredevils, 1966. Now 28 years old, Evil and his daredevils made their debut at the National Date Festival in Indio, California. Evil took his motorcycle 750cc and did wheelies, crashed through plywood firewalls, and leapfrog over two pickup trucks. The show was a smashing success. Following that first performance, Knievel received several offers to host additional shows. The next show was in Barstow, California. Evil Knievel attempted a new stunt during the performance, jumping spread eagle over a speeding motorcycle. But Knievel jumped too late, and the motorcycle hit him in the groin, tossing him violently in the air. As a result of his injuries, he was admitted to the hospital. But Evil didn't give up, and he never lost faith. He made it a point in his life to always come back and finish a stunt. So when he was out of the hospital, he returned to Barstow to finish the performance he had begun nearly a month before. But Evil could see that the injuries were taking a toll on his daredevils. Eventually, Evil's shows were canceled due to injuries that prevented them from performing on a regular basis, so Evil began touring as a solo act. That way, he only had to be responsible for himself, and not the team of daredevils. And Evil decided to up his game. At the time, other motorcycle stunt riders were jumping over animals or pools of water, so Evil decided he would start jumping over cars. When Evil returned to the Barstow venue, he began adding more and more cars to his jumps in order to get more people to come out and see him again, and his acts were going fine for a few months. In June 1966, in Missoula, Montana, Evil attempted to jump 12 cars and a cargo van. This was an incredibly dangerous idea, and the distance he had for takeoff prevented him from getting enough speed, but he attempted it anyways. During flight, his back wheel collided with the top of the van, while his front wheel collided with the top of the landing ramp. He suffered a severely broken arm, as well as several broken ribs. But something amazing happened from that crash. The public took notice of Evel Knievel, and they wanted him to keep going. People wanted him to add another car after each successful jump. Over the next several months, Evel Knievel worked his way up to clearing 16 cars. While there were a few crashes, including one in Graham, Washington, where he was thrown from his bike after landing on the last vehicle and he suffered a severe concussion, he always kept his promise to come back to the venue after he recovered to finish his show. And Evil's popularity kept growing. He finally received national attention when he appeared on the Joey Bishop Show. And all the attention not only brought in bigger paychecks, but also female admirers. In 1967, Evel Knievel went to Las Vegas to see Dick Tiger successfully defend his light heavyweight boxing title at the Las Vegas Convention Center. But he also saw something else, something that would change his life. The fountains of Caesar's Palace. Caesar's Palace was the crown jewel of the Las Vegas Strip. And with Evil's growing fame and need to constantly find more ways to thrill crowds, he wanted to jump the fountains on his Triumph Bonneville T120 motorcycle. He negotiated for several months with the casino, ultimately setting the date of December 31st, 1967, coincidentally the day I was born. Evil approached ABC's Wild World of Sports to televise it. Though they declined, it didn't stop the nationwide buzz of curiosity. Evil changed his jumpsuit for the stunt. He wore a white suit with stripes down the legs and sleeves. He said he saw how Elvis and Liberace had become not just performers, but the epitome of showmen, and Evel Knievel sought to create his own variation on that in his own jumps. Incidentally, it would take another 2 years before he would wear the now famous All-American themed red, white, and blue jumpsuit. On the morning of the Caesar's Palace jump, Evel Knievel went into the casino and bet his last $100 on blackjack. He lost. He then went to the bar and had a shot of Wild Turkey before heading outside, where he was joined by two showgirls. Knievel got on his motorcycle, and after his normal pre-jump show and a few warm-up approaches, he began his real approach to jump the fountains. He hit the takeoff ramp perfectly, but the landing was a disaster. Instead of being the most successful motorcycle jump in history, it was without a doubt the most famous motorcycle crash in history. Evel Knievel came up short, ripping the handlebars from his hands as he tumbled over them onto the pavement and skidded into the Dunes parking lot across the street. He suffered a crushed pelvis and femur, fractures to his hip, wrist, and both ankles, and a concussion that kept him in a coma for 29 days. He had taken out 10 accident insurance policies on himself before the jump, and he filed claims on all 10. But the crash had done something else for Evel Knievel than just land him in the hospital. It made him more famous than ever. ABC Sports eventually showed the jump, paying far more than they would have had they broadcast the original jump live. Ironically, as Evel Knievel finally achieved the fame and fortune he desired, his doctors also warned him that he might never walk again without crutches, let alone ride or jump motorcycles. Over the next decade, Evel Knievel would tour stadiums, performing his show to sold-out crowds. He became a household name, making $25,000 a performance. It would also be merchandised with his name and face on it, from toys to lunchboxes, and of course, bikes. But it also pressured Evel in having to keep attempting even more death-defying stunts. In 1968, 6 months after his Caesar's Palace crash, Knievel began describing his most daring stunt, a motorcycle jump across the Grand Canyon, in order to keep his name in the news. Over the years, many of his jumps would go off successfully, but his crashes always made the news. Evel Knievel had a crash on May 25, 1968, in Scottsdale, Arizona, while attempting to jump 15 Ford Mustangs. As a result of the crash, he broke his right leg and foot. 5 months later, in Carson City, Nevada, Evel lost control while landing and crashed again, breaking his hip. And in May 10th, 1970, in Yakima, Washington, while attempting to jump 13 Pepsi delivery trucks, his motorcycle came down front wheel first. He managed to hang on until the cycle reached the bottom of the ramp, but he skidded for 50 feet after being thrown off. Knievel broke his collarbone and had a compound fracture in his right arm and broke both of his legs. But Evil was also setting amazing records too. In Ontario, California, on February 28th, he set a new world record by jumping 19 cars on his Harley-Davidson XR750. In February 1973, Knievel successfully jumped over 50 stacked cars at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, a record that held for 35 years. And that historic Harley-Davidson is now housed at the Smithsonian Institute National Museum of American History. And through all of this, Evel Knievel persisted in his quest to persuade the United States government to let him jump the Grand Canyon. He would spend the next several years negotiating with the U.S. government to secure a jumping site and developing various concept bikes to make the jump. The U.S. Department of Interior, however, denied him airspace over the Grand Canyon, so he shifted his attention in 1971 to the Snake River Canyon. After discovering a location near Twin Falls, Idaho, that was both wide and deep enough, as well as on private property, Evel Knievel paid $35,000 to lease 300 acres for his jump. He chose September 1974 as the date, 3 years away. Knievel hired subcontractor and aeronautical engineer Doug Malwicki to build him the X-1 Sky Cycle, a rocket-powered cycle that he could use to jump across the Snake River. The Snake River Canyon jump was launched on September 8, 1974, and it was a failure. The parachute deployed during takeoff, creating enough drag that despite making it halfway across the canyon to the north rim, the prevailing winds caused the sky cycle to drift back south into the canyon. Knievel escaped the fall with only minor injuries. In 1975, in front of 90,000 spectators at Wembley Stadium in London, Evel attempted to land a jump over 13 London buses. Despite breaking his back in the crash, Evel Knievel addressed the audience and announced his retirement. He walked off Wembley Field, ignoring pleas for him to use a stretcher, saying,
"I walked in, I want to walk out."
But true to form, Evel didn't retire. Later that same year, Knievel successfully jumped 14 Greyhound buses at the Kings Island theme park in Ohio, breaking the record for jumping the most buses on a Harley-Davidson for 24 years. The Kings Island event had the highest viewer ratings in ABC's Wild World of Sports history, and it would be Evel Knievel's most successful jump at 163 feet. Knievel announced his retirement again after the Kings Island jump, but still didn't retire. In 1977, based on the popularity of the film Jaws, Knievel was scheduled to jump a tank full of live sharks, which would be televised live across the country. During his practice, however, Knievel lost control of his motorcycle and collided with a cameraman. Although Knievel broke his arms, he was more concerned about the cameraman's permanent injury as a result of the accident, who had lost his eye. After that, Evel Knievel did in fact retire, stating that a professional is supposed to know when he has jumped far enough. Evel and his wife Linda had four children during their marriage, two boys, Kelly and Robbie, and two girls, Tracy and Alicia. Kelly and Robbie spent their adolescence performing at Evel Knievel's stunt shows. Robbie Knievel continued to perform as a professional motorcycle daredevil into adulthood. And eventually, after 38 years of marriage, Evel Knievel and his wife Linda divorced. On November 30th, 2007, at the age of 69, Evel Knievel died in Clearwater, Florida. For many years, he had suffered from diabetes and idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. In one of his last interviews before he died, he told Maxim magazine, "Superman never dies. I beat the hell out of death." Evel Knievel was buried at Mountain View Cemetery in Butte, Montana, and fireworks exploded over the night sky. Evel Knievel inspired generations of people to take risks and follow their dreams, and his legacy still lives on in his family, the memories, the videos, and a museum in his name. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to the channel for more content. I'll see you in the next one.
It is done. If it is impossible, it will be done. This is Evel Knievel and the Evel Knievel Shock Absorbing Stunt Cycle. You can make him do wheelies.
backstands, even mid-air somersaults. And for that big jump, here's Evil, up and over that four-foot ditch. Evil Kenny Gunsight.
Come with me, toy fans.
Evel Knievel was an American daredevil who achieved worldwide fame during the 1970s due to his incredible stunts, attempting more than 75 ramp-to-ramp motorcycle jumps throughout his career. Evel was born as Robert Craig Knievel Jr. on October 17, 1938 in Butte, Montana. Although Knievel was a standout athlete when he was younger, he also struggled in high school, and before too long he was arrested for robbing hubcaps and motorcycles, and generally being a menace. Knievel joined the US Army in the 1950s and volunteered for parachute school, making over 30 successful parachute jumps. After leaving the military, Knievel drifted around before eventually taking up motorcycle racing, which later led to his career in motorcycle stunt work. Evel first appeared on the Wide World of Sports in the spring of 1967, jumping 16 cars in Gardena, California. Not only known for his successful motorcycle jumps, Evel Knievel became just as famous for his failed jumps, and his list of broken bones has become the thing of legend. Like his infamous jump over the fountains of Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, where his motorcycle's rear wheel clipped the landing ramp and Evel horrifically crashed, fracturing his hip, wrist and both ankles, and crushing his pelvis and femur. But despite his injuries, this daredevil feat captured the imagination of the world.
When I helped design my line of AMF Roadmaster wheels, I said make them red, white, and blue to bear my name, Evel Knievel. You can see they're built solid, flashy, and hip, and the bikes come with these safety tips that bear my name, Evel Knievel. So if your kids are thrilled, I know just how they feel. These wheels are real exciting and bear my name, Evel Knievel.
Throughout his daredevil career, Evel Knievel's persona grew into that of the ultimate showman, and his sensational leather jumpsuits became just as well known as his stunts. He also took great pride in his core values and would speak publicly about the importance of keeping his word and preaching an anti-drug message to children before each of his stunts. Evel Knievel became a true American icon, and as his popularity reached its zenith in the early 70s, the Ideal Toy Company began producing a multitude of wildly successful Evel Knievel toys. Hello toy fans, my name is Tony and welcome to an Analog Toys special feature, Toy Histories with Ideal's Evel Knievel toy line. Morris and Rose Mitchton founded the Ideal Toy Company in Brooklyn, New York in 1903 when they invented the teddy bear. In the 1960s, the company saw massive success with the board game Mousetrap, but they only had limited success in the boys' action figure market with their range of Captain Action figures and outfits. But when the Ideal Toy Company started producing Evel Knievel toys in the early 1970s, they had an immediate retail hit on their hands. The first toys produced were a limited range of 7-inch tall Evel Knievel toy figures. I'm reluctant to call these action figures because their design is more like a Bendem, with the body being manufactured with a wire skeleton and a vinyl head. The earliest figures came dressed in one of Evel Knievel's signature jumpsuits, and were equipped with a belt that featured Evel's initials on the buckle, a removable helmet, and a swagger stick. The Evel Knievel flexible figures were a massive hit for Ideal, so they were quickly followed by the next logical step, stunt vehicles.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel Stunt Cycle from Ideal.
Ideal's amazing range of Evel Knievel vehicles started in 1973 with the Evel Knievel Stunt Cycle, a gyro-powered miniaturized motorcycle ridden by the Evel Knievel flexible figure. The Stunt Cycle was the most popular toy in the range, being sold from 1973 right through to 1977, although Ideal would make numerous changes to the cycle over the years. The first edition Stunt Cycle features many chrome parts and is easily the rarest of all the different variations. First edition Stunt Cycles are very costly to acquire on the secondary market, which is the main reason I don't own one. I have a 5th edition Stunt Cycle in my collection that has no chrome parts whatsoever. The biggest selling point of this toy was the Energizer, a hand crank launch device that powered the friction motor that was housed inside the Stunt Cycle. Ideal very wisely advertised this gyro powered motor as needing no batteries or electricity. All a child needed to do was locate the Stunt Cycle in the Energizer, crank the handle a few times to power the motor, and Evil Knievel would be launched at high speed towards any stunt obstacle the child could imagine. And while I may not be that keen on bendable action figures, in this case it was the perfect design choice to ride upon the Stunt Cycle and crash into all manner of walls and doors. This winning combination of licensing the Evil Knievel brand and attaching it to an ingenious play feature was pure gold. And after releasing the Stunt Cycle, the Evil Knievel toys became the best-selling products ever released by the Ideal Toy Company. The Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle and Energizer would go on to become one of the most loved and iconic toys to ever come out of the 1970s. And this toy gave children of that decade endless hours of enjoyment. But the Stunt Cycle wasn't the only Evil Knievel product that Ideal released in 1973. They also brought to the market the Evil Knievel Scramble Van, and this amazing toy really expanded the play possibilities for young children. The Scramble Van was a mobile workshop headquarters for Evil Knievel, and it came equipped with a trailer so Evil can tow his Stunt Cycle to the next big show. Once on location, the Scramble Van can be propped open, and the vinyl wrapped cardboard side panels can be slid back to access the inside of the van. The set comes with a workbench and an assortment of tools that Evil can use to repair his Stunt Cycle, a job made all the easier with the inclusion of a working jack stand. Heck, the van even includes a chair so Evil Knievel can rest up after a difficult day's stunting. You can already see that the Scramble Van is jam-packed with play value, but I haven't even shown you its best feature yet. For Evil Knievel's high-riding stunts, the van also features a three-piece ramp so Evil can jump the van. The Scramble Van is one of the easiest Evil Knievel toys to acquire today, but it doesn't stop it from being one of my favourite pieces in my vintage Evil Knievel toy collection. With the Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle, Ideal had a bona fide retail smash hit on their hands, and as the popularity of these toys expanded, so did the product line. In 1974, Ideal released the Evil Knievel Stunt and Crash Car. This toy, like all the other vehicles that would follow, also incorporated the gyro-powered motor, and for the exciting finale, this car crashes apart, leaving Evil in the reinforced chassis. In 1974, the real-life Evil Knievel made an attempt to jump across the Snake River Canyon in Idaho in his SkyCycle rocket. This stunt failed immediately after takeoff when one of the SkyCycle's parachutes prematurely deployed. But that didn't stop the Ideal Toy Company from cashing in on this widely televised stunt when they released the toy version of the Evil Knievel SkyCycle the same year. And just like all the other popular toy lines at the time, Evil Knievel also got his own playset in 1974 in the form of the Stunt Stadium. In 1975, the Evil Knievel brand was still as popular as ever, so Ideal continued adding more new and exciting products to entice the children of the 70s. One of the rarest sets to find today is the Evil Knievel Road and Trail Adventure set, but my favourite release from 1975 is the Evil Knievel Dragster. This vehicle has a shock-absorbing front end that slides in and out to convert the Dragster into a Formula One car. Once powered by the Energizer, the Dragster speeds off and pops wheelies, and can also deploy a parachute to slow it down. 1975 would also see the release of 4 new carded Evil Knievel figures.
The continuing adventures of Evil Knievel. Ignoring danger, Evil in his specially equipped rescue uniform tries to save trapped miners. In another adventure, Evil's lost in the desert. Water's low. Evil pushes on. Can Evil save the miners? Will Evil find an oasis? The answers to these and other make-believe adventures are up to your imagination while you're playing with Evil Knievel and his adventure sets. Evel Knievel adventure sets and cycle each sold separately from Ideal.
Okay, so some of these figures are pretty cool, but I'm certain that Evel Knievel never went on a jungle safari. Another super cool toy released in 1975 was Evel Knievel's chopper bike. This bike featured long, flexible front forks and an upgraded plastic body, which made it stronger than the earlier stunt cycles. And although the chopper also incorporated a gyro-powered motor, the earliest releases did not include an energizer. But Ideal corrected that mistake in 1976, after receiving numerous consumer complaints. Ideal also released another playset for Evel in 1975, which was sold in a large box labelled Escape from Skull Canyon. This was an interesting toy, but the inclusion of a voodoo motif and a monster that seems to resemble the Abominable Snowman is just a bizarre choice.
Evel Knievel, Escape from Skull Canyon. Pretend the hairy monster has Evel trapped in Skull Canyon, and Evel's going to try and jump out, but there's a log across the road. Oh, just missed. Now you'll have to make Evel crash through the boulders blocking the passage. You've done it! Evel triumphs again. Evel Knievel, Escape from Skull Canyon figure, winder, and stunt cycle sold separately from Ideal.
By this time, the Ideal Toy Company was raking in millions of dollars a year due to the popularity of their Evel Knievel toy line. So they made an ill-fated attempt to conquer the girls' toy market as well. Designed to be a female counterpart to Evel Knievel, the Derry Daring toy line was also released in 1975. But unlike Evel, Derry wasn't based on anyone in real life.
What you got there? It's Derry Daring in a wheelie car.
Let's see. There's a neat jumpsuit and helmet.
I like her long hair.
This car's got great lines. But what does it do?
Just watch.
It does a wheelie.
And a jump.
Are you sure this is a girl's toy?
Derry Daring and her wheelie car, from Ideal.
This spin-off toy line only lasted 2 years and is considered to be a major commercial misfire for the Ideal Toy Company. Despite the failure of the Derry Daring toy line, the Evel Knievel range continued riding high in toy aisles right into 1976. This year would see the introduction of another exciting vehicle in the form of the Super Jet Cycle, as well as an action figure of Evel's teenage son, Robbie Knievel, along with a vast range of die-cast toys.
It's the Evel Knievel Show, featuring Evel Knievel's scramble van. And revving up for action, here's our star. What a jump! Evel's riding the amazing Sty Cycle. That gyro power sends him over 100 feet at top speed. Loop-de-loop! And he's not through yet. Into the dragster. Evel's super sprint car with built-in drag chute to slow him down. Here he is on the super cool chopper bike. He's sensational. He's Evel Knievel. He's a knockout. He's Ideal.
1977 would be a pivotal year for the Evel Knievel brand. Similar to one of his many failed motorcycle jumps, Evel Knievel started out riding high, but by the end of the year, the Evel Knievel brand had crashed into a smouldering heap. In 1977, Evel made a guest appearance on the Bionic Woman television show, where he played himself, getting inadvertently embroiled in East German espionage.
I'm an agent for the OSI, who are you?
Evel Knievel.
All right, I'm Jamie Bond.
But if kids wanted to recreate this episode with their favourite toys, the scale difference made it almost laughable. As well as appearing in The Bionic Woman, Evel Knievel also had the starring role in the feature-length movie Viva Knievel. And this film also inspired one of the rarest and most highly coveted Evel Knievel toys that Ideal ever made, the Stratocycle. In fact, many of the products released by Ideal in 1977 are now considered among the rarest of all Evel Knievel toys, such as the collector's holy grail, the Silver High Jumper Cycle. However, by the end of 1977, Evel Knievel pled guilty to a battery charge and spent 6 months in county jail, and also lost many of his marketing endorsements, including his lucrative deal with the Ideal Toy Company. The end of the Evel Knievel toy line coincided with the demise of his career. Knievel announced his retirement after a failed attempt to jump 13 buses at London's Wembley Stadium in 1975. And although this announcement was a bit premature, with Evel returning to jump later that year, he eventually hung up the jumpsuit for good in 1977 and would never perform another stunt again. After several years of obscurity, Evel Knievel made a significant marketing comeback in the 1990s, but sadly, I cannot say the same for the toys. In fact, toy fans would have to wait until 2005 before the Evel Knievel stunt cycle would be reissued in several different sets by the toy company Puff Slinky. Sadly, Evel Knievel passed away on November 30th, 2007, at the age of 69. he'd been suffering from diabetes for many years. Evel Knievel, the Last Gladiator, was a larger-than-life character whose daring exploits inspired an entire generation. And if you were alive in the 1970s and either had children or were one, then you surely remember Ideal's legendary Evel Knievel toy line. You may hear me use the word iconic very often when I talk about vintage toys, but never has the word been so perfectly suited to a toy than when it's used to describe the Evel Knievel stunt cycle. This toy occupies a special place in the hearts of children and toy lovers all over the world. Ideal's range of Evel Knievel toys perfectly embodied the characteristics of the man himself. Bold, exciting, durable, and utterly legendary.
Robbie Knievel, daredevil and son of stuntman Evel Knievel, has died. He was 60 years old. According to TMZ, Robbie spent his final days in hospice care after a battle with pancreatic cancer and died on Friday with his daughters by his side. Robbie, also known as Captain Robbie Knievel, followed in his dad's footsteps from a young age, jumping his bike at only 4 years old and performing at Evel's show at Madison Square Garden when he was eight.
He would sit in the ambulance and tell me and my brother, look at me, you know, he'd be busted up. I'd never want you to do this. And right. My older brother chose a smart profession, which wasn't jumping, and right. I chose jumping because, I don't know, I had the eye of the tiger. It's my passion. I've been doing it for 34 years.
Robbie went on to perform over 350 jumps in his career, 20 of which set world records. In 1989, he jumped the fountains at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, a feat his dad previously tried and failed.
I was probably doing 75 when I left the end of the ramp.
Let's look at the monitor here. You can see it.
Some of his most memorable stunts include the 30 Limousines jump, the Grand Canyon jump, and the USS Intrepid jump. His final stunt was in 2011, when he jumped 150 feet above tractor-trailer trucks at the Spotlight 29 Casino in Coachella, California. In 2005, Robbie also starred in the short-lived show Knievel's Wild Ride, giving fans a look behind the scenes of his wild stunts.
When I'm not breaking records, I'm just breaking bones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a band called Spader take you out with their song, Evel Knievel. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
ladies and gentlemen of this wonderful country, I've got to tell you that you are the last people in the world who will ever see me jump, because I will never, ever, ever jump again. I am through.